Good morning. This is 1 in 36, a presentation from Anderson Center for Autism, celebrating their centennial in 2024. 1 in 36 is a weekly show devoted to autism spectrum disorder.
Good morning and welcome to 1 in 36, the weekly talk show on topics related to autism spectrum disorder. I'm your host, Eliza Bozensky, Chief Development Officer at Anderson Center for Autism. And I'm talking today with Beth Pogue, who is a family and community educator for early childhood special education with WIHD. Beth, good morning. Thanks for being on the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. I'm really excited to have the opportunity to talk to another person who is doing excellent work directly with families, helping people who otherwise might easily get sort of lost in the system or lack thereof, depending on where you are, in terms of resources that can be directly helpful for individuals and families right in the moment when they need them. So I'm going to let you explain it further. But first, Beth, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, that would be great.
Sure. So I am a parent of a kid with a disability. I have a 10-year-old who has a rare genetic change, which means he has global developmental delays. So we've been doing this kind of navigating a big system since he was little, since he was a baby. We started in early intervention and moved through all of the systems, and he's in fifth grade now. So we're about to move into middle school. So that's been a big learning experience. There's so much to learn.
Yes.
Navigating all these big systems. And I didn't originally do this as my job. As many of us, we kind of came to it out of necessity. So I was in documentary film for a long time. And I eventually kind of came to this role after I got my master's degree. And I work in disability justice.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit about your background and your educational background in particular, mm-hmm. on the WIHD website. And it's really fascinating. You got degrees in things that I didn't know you could get degrees in. So I don't know if you wanted to talk a little bit about that as it's informed that combined with being a mom to your son and maybe meeting other families and seeing directly and feeling directly what the needs are out there. But like, how did it all come together to who you are today and what you're doing today?
Yeah. So this has been a really interesting and intense journey. You know, when you have a kid with a disability and you start bumping up against these systems, you start to realize how kind of messed up things are in a lot of ways. And that's not only the big systems, but also my own. This is kind of my big special interest of a topic. So
go ahead.
My own, like, internalized ableism, right? Like, you sit and especially because my kid has an older brother. And so you start to realize, like, what you are starting to think about your kid with a disability, and you really bump up against, like, norms that you have, things that you assume, you know, you really start bumping up against a lot of that stuff. And as I kind of moved through that, and of course, you know, you're unpacking, right, racism at the same time, my own whiteness, you know, my white feminism, like all of that kind of stuff, it all comes together. And when you start to unwind it, it's a lot. And so my master's degree is in social justice educational studies out of SUNY New Paltz. It's an amazing program. And it really, really allowed me for 2 years. I got to focus on disability justice because that's what I was interested in. But, you know, everything intersects, right? It's all part of, you know, all of it is intertwined. Yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating. So that in and of itself sounds like a lot. And also sort of the lead up, but it sounds like before you became a parent, you were working in documentary filmmaking. So first question is, this would just be sort of random or happenstance maybe, but when you were working in documentary filmmaking, did you naturally gravitate towards topics that were sort of on the social justice and or disability end of things? Or was it a different kind of documentary film that you were doing?
I definitely was in social justice documentary film. So as a producer and editor, those were the types of projects that I worked for. That was pre-master's degree. So I kind of went into my master's degree after having
there.
That work. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Just curious. So that, thank you. That I always like when I'm talking to somebody to just ask a bit more about who you are and kind of set the tone and give some context for what you're going to be speaking about today. But let's go back to something a little concrete just to start with. So the family and community educator role with WIHD, mm-hmm. I know that is funded, I think, you're going to correct me if I'm wrong, funded through a grant from New York State Education Department, sort of way. Okay. Can you talk about what that is, what the service is, what your job is, I guess, with other people? And also two other questions, since this podcast might be, being listened to by somebody out of New York State, do you have any advice or recommendations for somebody not in New York in terms of listening to this saying, I need that help? Where do I go? And also even for people who are in the state who may not know about these programs and these support services, what's their next step? So it's a big question. I'll let you tackle it however you want.
Yeah. Okay. So like you mentioned, my actual job is at Westchester Institute for Human Development. That's in Westchester, and it covers the whole Hudson Valley, the services there. It's a big organization. We do all kinds of, provide all kinds of support around disability from birth to adults, right? Clinical staff and also support with services. But specifically, I work for the FACE Center. So Westchester Institute for Human Development holds three grants from New York State Ed, for the family and community engagement centers in the Mid-Hudson and in the Lower Hudson. So New York State is broken up into 14 regions, and each region has an early childhood FACE center and a school-aged FACE center. And that contact information can be found on the OSC Partnership website. So it's oscpartnership.org. So that's Office of Special Education Partnership.org. So every region has these same services that we provide in the Mid mm-hmm. and Lower Hudson. So you can just look up who your organization is has that grant, right? So it gets so confusing, right? All these different entities, but right. We are New York State Ed. And so what we do is we help families navigate the special education process from tip to tail. And we do that by having online trainings. So we have lots and lots of online trainings on our website that are accessible to both families and professionals, and also available to anybody, you know, in the whole state or beyond. We definitely have people from beyond. And there are really, really accessible trainings by topic. So it can be anything from early intervention or, you know, preschool services all the way up to transition and adult services and everything in between. And what it is just getting information on how to navigate all these systems. You have an opportunity to ask questions. We have trainings that are provided by the state with lots of information from the state. We talk about regs. We talk about all of the ways that all of the information you need. And, you know, when you get a diagnosis or you're in the school system and you realize that your kid needs to be evaluated and then gets classified for services, there's really no information on what you need to know. Mm-hmm. And so we're the people who are providing that. And then we also take phone calls and answer emails. And, you know, are able to support anybody in that sort of way. And then the other part of the work that we do is we go into school districts that are identified as needing extra support because of how they're doing in special education. And we help them with family engagement. So we look at what information they're providing to their families, where families in their district are struggling and need support or need more information. So we help the school districts with family engagement as well.
That's great. So I'm just going to interject a real quick question. Yeah. I know that school districts, many school districts, and maybe all, I don't know the specifics, but I do understand that some there are some requirements that school districts have in terms of needing to provide some level of parent education, parent engagement opportunities. So is that what you're talking about? Do you go in? Are you a provider of that type of workshop or conference or session?
Sometimes we do that. Yep. Sometimes we do that at school districts. We, in a best case scenario, we're teaching them how to do it for parents.
Okay, good. Right? Yes, I agree.
And encouraging them, to do it for parents, but we're also talking to administrators and teachers, and we're saying like, hey, you might think your parent's not involved, but this is actually what's happening for the parent. This is where they're struggling. This is why they might not be returning phone calls.
Yeah.
Or we talk about creating a welcoming and affirming environment, or we talk about rigorous instruction. Like, we have all these opportunities to work directly with staff and administration to say like, hey, this is where you're not connecting with your families, or this is the type of support, or this is even the family's point of view that you might not have considered, you know?
Yeah, I do. We're getting close to a time for a break. So just quickly, and we're going to come back to all of what you just put out there and kind of dive into it a little more deeply in the second half. But one of the trainings that I used to do at Anderson several years back was parent communication. And what I found myself talking about the most with our staff was kind of, you just alluded to it, sort of recognizing all the things we don't know, from the simplest thing that we never think about, which is how did that person's morning start, you know, before they had to call you or before you had to call them to say, you know, there's a lost piece of clothing or the iPad broke or something, and you're getting some response that is maybe not what you're expecting. But I think it boils down to being open to all those things that you don't know, that you can adjust in a training or an environment, or even through a hybrid session or a phone call, you know, with a little bit of a moment taken to consider your tone of voice. Are you, you know, how are you going to start the conversation?
Exactly.
How, you know, what are some things that you can do to recognize that person might not be sitting there ready to take notes with their notepad in an environment where they can just take an hour and take it all in right away. It might be
exactly.
that they have like 5 minutes of time to really take in what you're saying. So how can you work with that individual parent? And I think it's great. I also want to recognize that I think that those of you who do this and are also parents who are raising children with, you know, having gone through this to some degree or another, adds a layer of compassion and empathy and understanding that I think makes probably you and your role and your colleagues just unique and stand out. So thank you for that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's dive into what you just shared and get a little bit more detail. This is 1 in 36, the weekly talk show on topics related to autism spectrum disorder. I'm your host, Eliza Bozenski, and we'll be right back.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
And now, 1 in 36 continues on 100.7 WHUD. This is a weekly community affairs program presented by the Anderson Center for
Autism. Welcome back to 1 in 36, the weekly talk show on topics related to autism spectrum disorder. I'm your host, Eliza Bozenski, and I'm talking today with Beth Pogue, who is a family and community educator with the, I'm going to get it all in here, Beth, I promise, the FACE Center, which is part of or in collaboration with Westchester Institute for Human Development. And this is your programs, and you're specifically with the childhood, early childhood special education program through some grant funding from New York State Education Department. And I won't repeat that too many times because it's long, but I will throw this out a couple more times, which is for more information about where you can access these people like Beth or Beth directly and the programs that she's running, you can go to OSC partnership.org. Yep. And we'll try to get that in the description when we put the podcast out to the public. We'll try to get that link in there so people can easily get the information. So Beth, you said a lot in sort of towards the end of the first half of the conversation here. I want to go back to, you said that there are accessible trainings kind of by topic. There's a lot of information. You can kind of customize what you need, because while everybody might benefit from all of it at some point, the reality is if you're a parent and you're raising a child, and you need access to this information, chances are you have extraordinarily limited time to do research and to get resources. You want to be able to say, I need help with this, and I'm going to click there, and that's what I'm going to get. So can you give us a sense, or maybe talk about some of your favorite topics to present on, or things that you think, you know, were really helpful to you maybe when your son was younger?
One of my favorite trainings that we do is the transition from pre-K to kindergarten. I feel like that's such an important one for parents to get information about. It's really the beginning of your relationship with your school district. It's really confusing because you're moving from preschool where your kid is kind of coddled and treated in a certain, you know, given like all kinds of services and all kinds of support to get them ready for school. But then as they're being evaluated to move into kindergarten, the criteria changes a little bit and the meetings are a little bit different. So I just think that's such an important training to come to if that's the stage you are in, because it really mm-hmm. does set you up for understanding what the whole process is, what it's going to look like, what questions might come up. And then we really do try to really give a sense of how the parents can be involved. You know, that's really something that I think is the most, has been the most surprising for me is, you know, when I tell a parent you're an equal part of the committee, they're, you know, most of them are kind of surprised, like, what?
Yeah.
You know, like we really try to convey to parents, like, this is not a committee that's doing something to you and then you're saying yes or no, or you're just nodding, right? You're, mm-hmm. as per New York State law, you are an equal member of the Committee for Special Education and your input is equally valid as the teachers or the service providers or mm-hmm. everybody in that room. Your input is important and your voice is important in that process. And so we really, really try to impart that in all of our trainings. Like, you need to be in that room and you need to be able to speak up when something isn't right, or when you just want to say, like, hey, this is my kid. Like, this
yes.
is... this is my, these are my kids' strengths. This is what I find funny, like to tell the stories and to really
yes.
give them a picture of who your kid is.
Yes, you're, I completely agree with you. And I'm so glad that you make a point with families who, look, I think, you know, you take an exhausted parent who probably has already, you know, hit some dead ends in terms of, am I going to get more resources from my pediatrician? Am I going to get more resources from, I don't know, other places, and led to some, but maybe not enough, dealing with all sorts of other things, probably, you know, maybe raising additional children. So busy, working. I mean, so many different factors. And then you expect that same parent to sit in a room with people who are professionals and have validity themselves, but are also talking often in sort of more maybe academic speak or something that's just not exactly going to be warm and fuzzy and comfortable. Yeah. And yet, you know, families, I guess what I'm saying is I agree with you. I think it's a natural thing for families to feel overwhelmed and maybe not an equal voice at the table. But I have to share this one story because I think it really backs up what you're saying. Years and years and years ago, I worked with our Medicaid service coordinators when that was a thing, when that was a role. It doesn't exist anymore in the state, but I did. I oversaw that department. And I, before that, was an early intervention service coordinator. And one of my favorite moments, seeing a parent just become so empowered in one of those meetings, she would bring an 8x10 photo, framed photo mm-hmm. of her son to every CSE meeting. And she would just come in with her pack of stuff, or she had stack of papers. I don't even know if they were real things in those papers. She just had her stack of things, but she had her photo and she would put him right in the middle of the table. And it was an instant game changer for the vibe in the room.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, she didn't really do it to be like unfriendly to the team. It was more to remind everybody that she was there to support and advocate for her son. And she expected everybody else to be there for the same reason. So I just wanted to tell that quick story because I think it goes kind of hand in hand with what you're talking about at such a busy and challenging and also exciting time for families when their child is sort of moving into that school age part of their lives.
I love that story. And we do the same thing. I pass my phone around to everybody and I say, like, here's this cute picture, whatever it is that, of my kid. But I think it really is important to remember that you're talking about a human child, And I think, you're right. It's not necessarily ever that the committee is, disinterested, but they might be on their 10th meeting of the day and they've got another one coming in 25 minutes, And so it does feel rushed. And that can be really hard for a parent. I know, like I said, I've been doing this for 10 years and I teach these classes and I still cry in my meetings. Mm-hmm. I still get overwhelmed. I still get confused. I still, get exhausted and think, well, I'm not going to bring that up now because I'm just too tired and I just want this to be over.
Right. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah. And I think that really is, I like to share that too with parents, like you're going to feel like this and you might cry and it's not because you're doing a bad job or because you're doing anything wrong. It's just that overwhelming, And I think that's an important thing for parents to know too. Is like, this is normal and this, it's going to feel like this. And the other training that I really, 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 really love is the parent member training. Mm-hmm. And that is, it's a 4-hour training. So it's a pretty big lift, but a parent member is, it used to be a required member of the committee and now it's something that parents can ask for. But what it is if I'm asking for a parent member to attend a meeting with me, I am asking for somebody who has experience as a parent of a kid with a disability in meetings who can come sit with me as a support person. Mm-hmm. And so what that means is they're kind of checking me for like my emotional state, or if I've become overwhelmed, then they'll help maybe slow down the meeting. They'll help cue me to the place that I want to ask the question that was the important thing I had on my mind. And the reason that I love that training so much is because parents who take it not only are able to support other parents, but they receive everything that they need to know to support their own kid. So you're really, if you're you're a district administrator, and you're encouraging families in your district to be trained as a parent member, you're not only getting really well-informed parents, but you're getting parents who can support other parents, and you're starting to build community. And I feel like that is just everything. Before I got this job, I was a volunteer parent member. And I, tell people now when I give the training, that the most important part of it really isn't really what you're doing in the meeting as much as like the 5 minutes afterwards in the parking lot where the parents crying and they're like, was that okay? Did we do okay? And you get to say, yeah, that was okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Right.
And they have a chance to kind of release that emotion that comes from being in that meeting.
That's amazing. And maybe even the 5 minutes before when you're walking in and you see that you're walking in with a parent who feels just a little bit more confident and, that they're remembering that they're there to advocate for their child, no matter what that looks like in the moment. So I think that's great. I love what you shared. We only have like a minute left, Beth. Is going back to maybe when you first, if you can think back to like one of the first times that you ever sort of took that deep breath and reached out for help as a newer parent. What do you know now that you wish you knew then?
Oh my gosh, what do I wish I knew now? I really think I was lucky that I found support. I remember looking for support when when my kid was transitioning into kindergarten, and I, you know, you're supposed to, I heard that you're supposed to advocate for your kid and it's going to be hard, but I didn't know, like, what am I advocating for? What are the options? I don't even know.
Right.
And I looked in my own school district and I found a little group, and people started talking about their experience in elementary school. It was only a few people. There was only maybe five people there, but I remember just like having this feeling. I left with this just like big smile on my face. And I was like, okay, I don't have to figure it all out alone. Mm-hmm. I can.
That's great. Get help. Yeah. I love that. I think that that is something, that's a theme that I've seen with just about every parent that I've ever talked to, whether it's Drew Anderson or other places that I've worked or parents I've interacted with, the idea that a lot of what parents are sort of addressing and dealing with today, they have this knowledge that it's going to help somebody who maybe doesn't even have a kid yet. That they're leaving a trail of breadcrumbs. And hopefully that'll become bigger and bigger breadcrumbs over the years. We are out of time, but I just want to thank you, Beth, for sharing your background and your experience and the role that you play today in the lives of so many families. Once again, for more information, please check out oscpartnership.org. And again, Beth, family and community educator, thank you so much for what you do. It obviously is making a big impact.
Thank you so much.
This is 1 in 36, the weekly talk show on topics related to autism spectrum disorder. I'm your host, Eliza Bozensky, and remember, Anderson cares.
You've been listening to 1 in 36, a weekly presentation from Anderson Center for Autism, celebrating their centennial in 2024. Join them for another edition of the show next weekend.